Evening, we want to continue in the fellowship. I feel like the Lord has really been leading us on to go further into the holy place and ultimately to the holy of holies. Right? Seems like with each, as we go through the entrances and we enter in more and more, the Lord really wants to sanctify us and to purify us.
That's right.
Right, when we come through this rich entrance into the outer court, and there we have the burnt offering altar, and we have the bronze laver.
Yeah.
And there's judgment to deal with our flesh, to deal with our natural man.
That's right.
And then now, this morning we saw that we are now entering in to the holy place.
Yeah.
And when we get into the matter of the holy place, what was impressive was to see all the gold that was laid out. Mo, if you can go ahead and bring up that slide again, it'd be really good to see the gold. And I think we should be very impressed with, in the holy place now, there is gold everywhere. okay. And so with the gold everywhere, and it should give us the impression that there is nothing of the natural man that should be there in the holy place. And this is why it's very encouraging to see, and this morning, that the Lord is counseling us to buy gold refined in fire. Right? It's not just that we have the fine humanity of Christ, the acacia wood, but we need God's nature wrought into all of us. And of course, then to see that in the holy place, it has to have the acacia wood, right? And then to see that the planks are now built together, not separated. This tells us and shows us another level of sanctification that the Lord wants to do, especially when it comes to the building up of the church. And I very much appreciated to see, to reflect back in our experiences in the church life, when we thought everything was good, and then it would collapse. And what was missing? What was lacking? What was missing and lacking was the matter of the gold and the acacia wood. And so now, as we enter into the holy place, we need to see these three items, the three furniture that is there in the holy place. So if we go on to the next slide, Mo, and we can take a look at, this is the showbread on the showbread table and on the table. Maybe we can still read. I think it's good for us to read these verses here in Exodus. Timo, if you can read to us Exodus chapter 25, verse 23 through 30. Exodus chapter 25, 23 through 30.
You shall also make a table of acacia wood.
Right.
2 cubits shall be its length, a cubit its width, and a cubit and a half its height.
Yes.
And you shall overlay it with pure gold, and make a molding of gold all around it. You shall make
a bit louder, we cannot hear.
Can you go adjust the volume?
You shall make for it a frame of a handbreadth all around.
Yes.
And you shall make a gold molding for the frame all around.
Amen.
And you shall make for it 4 rings of gold, and put the rings on the 4 corners that are at its 4 legs. The rings shall be close to the frame as holders for the poles to bear the table. And you shall make the poles of acacia wood and overlay them with gold, that the table may be carried with them.
Right.
You shall make its dishes, its pans, its pitchers, and its bowls for pouring.
Yes.
You shall make them of pure gold. And you shall set the showbread on the table before me always.
Amen. Amen. Praise the Lord. So when you look at this table, what should be impressed upon us is how much gold is here, right? The structure of the table. You have the acacia wood, the incorruptible life of this, of our wonderful Lord Jesus Christ. But it's also overlaid with gold, wrought with God's nature. And this is the table that presents the showbread. And so with the showbread, Timo, if you can continue to read in Leviticus 24. Verse 5 through 9. Leviticus 24, verses 5 through 9.
And you shall take fine flour and bake 12 cakes with it. Two-tenths of an ephah shall be in each cake. You shall set them in two rows, six in a row, on the pure gold table before the Lord. And you shall put pure frankincense on each row, that it may be on the bread for a memorial, an offering made by fire to the Lord. Every Sabbath you shall set it in order before the Lord continually, being taken from the children of Israel by an everlasting covenant. Amen. And it shall be for Aaron and his sons, and they shall eat it in a holy place, for it is most holy to him from the offerings of the Lord made by fire, by a perpetual statute.
Praise the Lord. So now here we see the showbread. And what makes this showbread unique from the meal offering that is in the outer court is that this showbread is examined by God. And it is examined by God because this showbread must be the most holy. It has to be pure. And this is the food for the priest when they are in the holy place. And what I'm very impressed, and I realize this has to be our experience, is do we know what we are eating when we come into the holy place? Right, what is this food that we are eating today when we enter into the holy place? Right, the problem today is, the question is, do we really know what kind of food we are eating today when we enter in? Right, when you take a look at during the time of the Lord, you know, the word was being spoken at that time. You had the Pharisees, the scribes, they had the very word of God, and they were speaking the word of God. But what was it that they were speaking? This morning was brought out, there was leaven, the leaven of the Pharisees. That means the food that was being presented to God's people at the time was not healthy, and it was definitely not examined by God. And because of that, when the Lord came himself, everyone missed the Lord. They did not even realize that the Lord was there. And they were just completely, the people were ruined because of the food that they ate. And today, our situation today is what? Consider God's people today. Whether we're the Christians, whether it's the pastors or the ministers that are speaking in Christianity today, do we know what is speaking, right? Do they know what we are eating today? You know, today, there's a lot of different things that are being talked about, and the Christians are just consuming all over the place. Right, John warned us, and this is the verse I want to read to you on 1 John chapter 4. Verse 1, it says, "Beloved, do not believe every spirit, but test the spirits, whether they are of God, because many false prophets have gone out into the world." Today, are we examining what we are eating? When the word is being spoken, are we examining the word together with the Lord? Is it being tested? Right? Peter warned us that there are some who will even twist the word. If you look at the warning that he gives us in 2 Peter chapter 3, verse 16, it says, as also in all his epistles, speaking in them of these things, in which are some things hard to understand, which untaught and unstable people twist to their own destruction, as they do also the rest of the scriptures. You therefore, beloved, since you know this beforehand, beware, lest you also fall from your own steadfastness, being led away in the error of the wicked. So this is a warning for us, brothers and sisters. Are we examining the word today together with the Lord? Or are we listening to something that is twisted? And then, of course, many Christians today, they love to say, well, that's your interpretation. That's my interpretation. But what does Peter also tell us regarding the word of God? So we should go to 2 Peter chapter 1, verse 20. 2 Peter chapter 1, verse 20 says, knowing this first, that no prophecy of Scripture is of any private interpretation. Very clear, right? We don't need to interpret this verse. It's very straightforward. No prophecy of Scripture is of any private interpretation. But why is it today? Everyone speaks about their interpretation. Right? And it was mentioned today, the church in Laodicea. We're in the condition of Laodicea. It is the opinion of the people. Everybody has an opinion regarding the Word of God. Right, and of course, then people like to add and subtract from the Word of God. In Revelation chapter 22, we are warned again in verse 18. For I testify to everyone who hears the words of the prophecy of this book. If anyone adds to these things, God will add to him the plagues that are written in this book. Amen. And if anyone takes away from the words of the book of this prophecy, God shall take away his part from the book of life, from the holy city, and from the things which are written in this book. There's serious judgment if we either add to God's word or we take away from God's word. All right, so we all need to really examine what we are eating today. Amen. Because if we are eating contaminated food, what happens?
We'll get sick.
We will get sick. And if we keep consuming it, what will happen?
We'll die.
We will die. Right? And this is what can happen to God's people, spiritually speaking. The more we feed on this junk food that is found all over the place, eventually we will lack discernment. And if we lack discernment and we continue to take in this food, we will eventually die. You know, these last few months, we've had opportunities to create a lot of, a good number of short videos. And it's very interesting to see the comments of these videos when they post it, once it's posted. And you can see the lack of discernment. You can see the twisted minds of so-called Christians. Comments we would hear is, there's no rapture. That was invented by a man. I don't see the word rapture anywhere in the Bible. Others will say, well, you don't need to prepare for the Lord's coming. We're all going to heaven. Others say, no, we're going to stay on earth. So many misguided lies. Even this is the condition of God's people
if we eat without examining what we eat. Right. In speaking with some of the new ones on the campus meetings and in the fellowship, I've heard many times, they said, wow, what you fellowship here is, oh, sorry, what I hear in the world amongst the Christians is completely different than what we hear in the word here today. I mean, this is how far out the condition of the Christians are today. If we do not examine the word together with the Lord, right? You know, oftentimes when we're trying to be healthy, right? And I notice a lot more saints are trying to be healthy. So we do a lot of research on the internet. What's the best nutrients? What's the best food? What's the best type of things, right? Okay, some of us. But there's a lot of people. Because we're all concerned what's going to enter into us. We're counting calories. We're making sure the nutrients are there. We spend so much time making sure we take in the right food for our physical body. And we also pay attention to who prepares it, especially now with the COVID-19 pandemic going on. Everyone's worried about, oh, what hands touch this food? Not just to prepare it, but also when it's being delivered to your house or when you're picking it up. We're all concerned. So if we're so concerned with the physical food that we're eating today, are we in the same way as concerned with what we are taking in as it relates to God's food? So the matter of the showbread becomes very important. This is why it's so good and it's so important when we get into the word. Right? We know so many things. I think if I ask you, what is our attitude to get into the word? I'm pretty sure every one of us here will have something to say. Right? Turn your hearts to the Lord. Why? The veils will be taken away. Right? Blessed are the pure in heart, for they shall see God. I think we know many of these verses. Right, but it's important that we learn to come to the Lord. Because oftentimes, we might say, okay, I already know it. The classic term is, yeah, I got it. I know. I'm good. When we're reminding one another, exhorting one another to turn to the Lord, to come to his word. And it's like, I know. I got it. But what is our real condition when we come to the Word? Right? One of the verses that I have also been really spending time is in this matter of our condition of our heart when we come to the Word. In 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 1, it says, therefore, laying aside all malice, all deceit, hypocrisy, envy, and all evil speaking. As newborn babes desire the pure milk of the Lord, pure milk of the word, that you may grow thereby. I think we all like to focus on verse 2, as newborn babes desire the pure milk of the word. But have we considered, before even coming to the word in such a way, we need to lay aside all the malice in my heart. All the deceit, the hypocrisy, yeah. The envy, and all the evil speaking. Oh, Lord. If all of this is running around still in our heart and we come to the Word, what will happen? Mm-hmm. For sure we will be veiled. But even with the veil, what it will do is our attitude in coming to the Word will be completely tainted. Veiled. And then the word is no longer pure to us. And so this is why it's good. Peter reminds us that we need to lay aside all these things. And if we lay aside all these things, then when we come to the Lord in prayer, into the Word, it becomes pure food for us. Right? The Lord reminds us, blessed are the poor in spirit. Right? If we are filled with so much teachings, concepts, traditions, and we haven't emptied ourselves, then how can the Lord show us in a fresh way? Right? It has already been brought up in this conference. Many of us, we may have already heard about the tabernacle. What? We're back in the tabernacle again for this conference? We already heard that in the spring. But have we emptied ourselves to come before the Lord with a pure heart? Lord, show me more. And I will say for sure, at least for me and some of the saints I've been fellowshipping with, this conference has been more of an eye-opener because the Lord is really showing us more. What is our attitude when we come to the Word? Right? And it's good. Oftentimes, you hear brothers and sisters praying, Lord, grant us all a spirit of wisdom and revelation. Enlighten the eyes of our understanding. Right? How often do we come to the Lord in this way when we're getting into His Word? And now, especially as we're getting into this burden regarding the Holy Tabernacle, and as we get into all the different items, and now we are speaking about the showbread.
Yeah. Amen.
Lord, are we examining the Word together with you before we take in the Word? Right. And it's also good to know if we're getting into the Word and sometimes we don't understand. Emmanuel, do you understand everything that you read in the Word all the time? Okay, and if you don't understand, what are you going to do?
Pray or ask.
Pray or ask my parents. Well, I'm glad you started with pray, meaning you're going to ask the Lord first. That's very good. We have to learn to do this. We have to learn to come to the Lord first. And sometimes we might not get an answer right away. And even if we do, we might not fully yet understand it. But this is why it's so important for us to know the Lord as the Holy Anointing.
Right.
The one who teaches us all things.
Right.
And it's good, yes. The fellowship is good. You're fellowshipping with your parents. I think this is very good. So, learn to turn to the Lord.
Amen.
Don't go to, if you don't understand, don't just go, okay, I'm going to go Google it. Let's find out what Google says. That's actually a bad idea. That's a real bad idea. You know, I was having some fellowship with a young brother. He's a seeking brother. And he was mentioning to me that he was saying, you know, I started to realize, I go, what is the ultimate goal of the Christian life? And I go, yeah, so, and what did you, how did you find out about this? And he goes, I just went to Google. I was like, wow, okay, this is what a lot of Christians will do. They'll go to Google. And when he mentioned that, I just, you know, out of curiosity, wanted to see what was out there. What is being said out there? And my goodness, if you were to search what is the ultimate goal of the Christian life, it is horrific. It is really horrific. It's really sad for God's people. May we not be such where we don't know and we want an answer and we go to Google. No, we need to learn to come to the Lord.
Amen.
And if we don't get the answer right away, wait on the Lord. Right? I'm not saying we cannot have fellowship. We should have fellowship. But even after the fellowship, Emmanuel, after you fellowship with your mom and your dad and they share with you their experience, then learn to go back to the Lord and bring it before the Lord. So it's not just that what your parents tell you, but that as you bring it to the Lord, you would check it with the Lord. Right? I have to say, this has been a real salvation for me growing up in the church life. Oftentimes, we hear a good word in the conference. I think in this conference, we all have heard some healthy teaching. It's really good. But it's not good enough. We need to then take it and bring it before the Lord and examine it together with the Lord. So it's not just what our brother speaks or what I speak or others speak, but when we bring it before the Lord to examine with the Lord, then when the Lord reveals it to us, it becomes a part of us.
Amen.
Right? This is so important, our attitude. When we come to the Word, we need to examine together with the Lord. Whether we're reading something, whether we're hearing something, or whether we're fellowshipping, in the end, we still need to always come to the Lord.
Yeah.
To examine the food together with the Lord.
Right.
And if we do this, then we will really eat the pure Word.
Amen.
Right? And when we eat of the pure Word, then it should ultimately cause us to grow. Right? As newborn babes long for the pure milk of desires the pure milk of the Word, that by it you may grow.
Yeah.
If we come to the Word in such a way, then for sure the Word, the pure Word of the Lord will nourish us.
Yes.
And not only just nourish us and strengthen us, but it should also cause us to grow. Right? In Hebrews chapter 5, verse 13. Hebrews chapter 5, verse 13, it says, "For everyone who partakes only of milk is unskilled of the word of righteousness, for he is a babe. But solid food belongs to those who are of full age, that is, those who by reason of use have their senses exercised to discern both good and evil." So as we learn to eat the word, to experience the word, in getting into the Word, and we're growing by it, then we should be able to have, we should mature. We should be able to have discernment. But if we don't have discernment, even Paul says that we should no longer be children tossed to and fro, carried about with every wind of doctrine, by the trickery of men in the cunning craftiness of deceitful plotting. This is Ephesians chapter 4, verse 14. I don't think we want to be tossed to and fro in these days. We all, as the holy priesthood, if we are partaking of this showbread examined by God that is pure, then we should grow, and we will grow. Right? We know not only do we experience the Lord in understanding and seeing it, but it should ultimately become our experience. I always am reminded of Romans chapter 15, verse 18. Paul said this, "For I will not dare to speak of any of those things which Christ has not accomplished in me, in word and deed, to make the Gentiles obedient." That means the food that we eat, this wonderful showbread as we partake, isn't just food for us, but it should result in us to grow, and it should become our experience. We should be living by it. The word should be worked out in us in such a way. As Paul said, "Christ is not accomplished through me in word and in deed." That means it needs to be working in us. How can I share with you, Emmanuel, about the priesthood if I don't experience the Lord as all the wonderful offerings? It would then become empty words. Right? So even in the matter of the showbread, right? This is the matter of us preparing the food, because it's the priest who prepares it. If we ourselves are not experiencing the Lord in such a way, then how can we then prepare that as food for the saints to eat. Many times I am reminded, don't speak something that the Lord has not yet accomplished in me. It's not effective. And oftentimes I'm praying, Lord, I want to experience you first. I want to see you working in me.
Amen.
Before I would even say things to the saints. Because it needs to be tested. It needs to be worked out in me also. Right? And ultimately, the word of God is what? The word of God should make us complete. Fully equipped for every good work. This is in 2 Timothy chapter 3, right? This is where it says, all scripture is God-breathed or inspired by God. Right? But the ultimate goal for the word is that we would be men of God, complete,
Amen.
Thoroughly equipped for every good work.
Amen.
Right? And for us to serve in the holy priesthood, we need to eat the proper food.
Yes.
We need to eat the food that has been examined together with the Lord.
Mm-hmm.
Right? And I pray that we would have such an attitude when we come to partake of the Lord as a showbread. Right? When I look back in so many things that are going on today, right, the Lord is coming back very quickly. How do we get ready? How do we get ready? If we know the goal is to become kings and priests, and then the way to be trained as kings and priests is to practice the holy and royal priesthood, then how is it possible that people will say, this is wrong? This is not correct. This is of the Old Testament. So in the matter of the priesthood, it is so good. I'm glad. I'm thankful to the Lord. When I first heard his word back in 2014, I didn't just take it. Okay, yes, this is the way to go. When I heard the word, I said, Lord, I want to examine this together with you. Consider with you, pray with you, practice this with you. I want to see the Lord make changes in me as we practice the priesthood. And I have to thank the Father for such an experience, because each step of the way, there was confirmation from the Lord that this is the way to reach the goal. If we are to become kings and priests, then we have to examine the priesthood before the Lord so that the Lord can show us the way to get there. Right? So we thank the Lord. We thank the Lord for the showbread. Right? May we learn to examine the word together with the Lord.
Amen.
For our eating, but not only for our eating, but when we feed one another. What is it that we feed to our fellow priests, to one another?
Mm-hmm.
May we also prepare in such a way.
Amen.
Amen.
Thank you.
Thank you, Lord.
Is that actually the most important thing in our human life? Is the food. I don't know what is most important for you. If we run out of food and there is nothing more to eat, what are you going to do? To eat your car? Not edible. You cannot eat your furniture. Food is the most important thing in our life. And in the whole scripture, right from the very beginning, God prepared a Garden of Eden for Adam. And of course, in this garden, you have all kinds of food that is good to eat, all kinds of trees. But there is one special tree, special food that Adam is supposed to eat. And there is, of course, a poisonous one that Adam shouldn't be eating, otherwise he will die. So eventually it all came down to two trees in the Garden of Eden that is most important. What is the most important? The tree of life.
Amen.
So from the very beginning of the Bible, you can realize that food, especially the spiritual food, is very important for man to eat. You are what you eat. Right? And we all know food. Everybody likes food, right? Especially good food. I go to Korea, I enjoyed Korean food. I go to China, I'm not very sure what I should eat there.
not Korean.
Right? I don't know whether the food you eat is fake or real, and sometimes even the milk can be fake. Oh. You don't know. And today, even here, the food that we eat are so contaminated with a lot of chemicals. We don't know what are we going to eat. Food is very important, especially spiritual food. Right. What we eat is very, very important. So, the food for a priest is very special, prepared by God for us to eat. Those who are outside in the outer court, they are eating, of course, healthy food, but generally for the public. For all of God's people, right? All of the offerings, food from the sin offering, the meal offering, right? From the peace offering. There's so many things everybody's eating there, which is good. I mean, you know, it's food consecrated to the Lord. But there is a very special food for the priests. Why am I saying this? Emphasizing this food that is very special. It is special, especially for a priest. If you're not a priest, you're not qualified to eat this food. You're not even qualified to enter into the holy place. Right. It is not called holy place for nothing.
Yeah.
It is holy. Everything in that place is not only holy, but especially that food. The 12 loaves in 2 rows of cakes, it is called the most holy. It doesn't mean that what is eaten outside is unholy, but this food there on a golden table is most holy. The very fact that it's placed on a golden table, of course nobody has a golden table at home, right? You will not put any dirty, unholy food on a golden table, definitely not. But that special food, I don't think any one of us can fully appreciate what is presented on that table. It must be something very special. And God is not going to just anybody, let anybody come in and take of that food. So only those who are serving in the holy place, only the priest, Aaron and his sons, not even the regular Levites can go in and walk in and just take that bread and eat. Of course, there's some exception, like David, right? King David. Of course, he can go in there. He's a king, right? And he represents Christ. But hey, that is a very special occasion. But normally, only the priests can eat. You want to eat that food? Be a priest.
Amen.
Are you a priest? Are you a priest? Amen. Freddie, are you a priest?
Yes, I am.
Yes, you better say yes. Don't say I'm not sure. You better be sure. Hey, the Lord has shown us, hey, we are a priesthood. This is what God wants. He even wants to have a kingdom of priests. So if you're not a priest, you're not qualified to enter into the holy place. If you do, you'll have to be carried out, right? So the first qualification is we must be a priest. And of course, a priest must be holy. Right? No one who is not holy, anyone who is unholy, it's hard to enter into the holy place. You cannot. Even the priests, when they enter in, they have to wash their hands carefully and wash their feet to be sanctified. Right. So, hey, we need to be holy to enter in. Right. Now, the question, coming back to eating this holy food, how come many times we cannot discern? We cannot discern. Is this my own understanding? Is my apprehension of the living word of God correct or not? Why is it that we have no discernment in many ways? It's because we are unholy. Our mind is unholy. So you can read and read, and during the day I daydream and I think of so many unholy things, and my mind is defiled, and then I want to come to eat the holy bread. I don't think it works like that. Really. This is why among us God's people, everywhere, we always quarrel. Argue concerning the word of God. That's your understanding. This is the way I see it too. Everybody has their own thoughts. So what are we truly eating? We need the Lord's mercy. Lord, sanctify me.
Amen.
Sanctify me.
Yes, Lord.
The priest who enter into the holy place must be holy. He must put on holy garment. Right. You must put on your holy, what do you call that?
Right. Turban.
Turban to cover your head. We need to be sanctified. This is the normal qualification. This is the qualification. No wonder the burden of the Lord for all the churches today, for the priesthood, is to pursue holiness, without which no one can see God. Meaning to say, I cannot enter in if we are not holy, right? If we are not holy, we will have problems. So to pursue holiness, right? Because we are entering into the holy place. This is a very normal qualification. Coming to the Word of God. Don't just come to the Word of God early in the morning. Yeah, you're half asleep. Okay, I have to have a morning watch. So you're even half dreaming and your eyes are not even open and you want to read the word of God and the morning watch, right? What do you get out of it? Our desire to gain the Lord, to have an appetite, to have a taste of this heavenly food. So eating is very, very important. What do you want to eat? It all depends, right? What is your favorite food? Some like ice cream. I only like ice cream. It's not very healthy. Once in a while, maybe it's okay. Right? But we want to eat something that is healthy, especially for the priest. This is why God prepared the special food for the priests. Right. And that food is not just for the priest to eat. Because the priesthood, the priests have a very important task. What verse did we have? I think it was in Malachi, right? The lips of the priests must have the proper knowledge. And in Ezekiel said, the priest must teach the people what is holy and what is not holy.
Right.
What is clean and what is unclean. Of course, in so many other things, what is righteous, what is not righteous. You need to know the Lord. You need to be able to discern what is holy and what is not holy, what is common and what is from the Lord. Amen. What is natural, what is life, what is death, what is just knowledge. Whenever we listen to someone speaking, is that life or is that knowledge? Is that from the spirit or is that from the natural man? Where is the source? Right. It is not just, oh, it's scriptural, not scriptural. Oh, yeah, he's talking about the Bible. Okay, he may be. But can you discern, is that what the Lord is speaking? You know, the prophets in the Old Testament and the priests, they're not just speaking what is written in the Bible, but they are speaking what God wants to say to his people. Not one word more and not one word less. This is why it is always written there, and the burden of the word of the Lord came to prophet so-and-so, to Isaiah, to Jeremiah, to Ezekiel. And the word of the Lord came with his appearance. So it is not that simple, the service of a priest. It is not just food for me and for you and for us, so that I will be satisfied. No, this is a special food that enables us to serve God according to his will. The service of the priest is very important. Right. And this is why this food is very, very special. As a priest, we all need to desire, Lord, give me food to eat, your food. What we should eat, the living word of God, the pure word of God. And it requires our relationship with God. So eating that food is within that holy place, because this is a holy food. You cannot eat it anywhere. No, you have to eat it there. It is the most holy place. The most holy food to be eaten in the holy place and not anywhere else. So it is not easy to eat that food. You cannot just eat it anywhere. You eat it in the presence of the Lord. You eat it with much light, with the light of life. Behind you there is the golden lampstand. Everything is so fresh. And that food is also fresh. Yes, we need to discern, but more importantly is God need to examine that.
Sure.
The food is before the presence of the Lord for 7 days.
Yeah.
Well, nothing will be more holy and pure than what is presented before the presence of God for 7 days. This is the bread that came down from heaven that gives life to those who eat it. And many times when you and I come to the Word of God to eat, is it to really eat or just to read? Or just to know? Well, I don't know about you, right? I don't know, but you should know. Why do you read the Word of God? To know? To understand? Well, maybe the children will read the Word of God because mommy and daddy says, come, let's read the Bible. Okay. It's also better than not reading, right? Definitely not reading. And I know of many Christians, when we come to the Word of God, we want to know, what does it mean? What does that mean? How do you explain this? And of course, it is part of reading the Bible. But this is not the most important part. The most important part is to eat the Lord. The Lord says, eat me. Eat me. He said, my flesh is meat indeed, and my blood is drink indeed. And if you eat that, you shall never die. Amazing. You shall live. You'll have eternal life. This is the result of eating this wonderful food. I want to live. Why do you eat breakfast and lunch and dinner? Yeah. Chu-chan, why do you eat? Why do you eat? To live, to be healthy, to be strong, to be able to carry out what you're doing. If you don't eat 2 days straight, 2 days, even if you don't eat, you just eat breakfast. And you don't eat lunch, you don't eat dinner, at the very end of the day, you will be fully exhausted, weak, no strength, no power, nothing. You can't do anything. You don't eat for 2 days, what's going to happen to you? Well, you say, but I know. Well, I don't care if you know or not. I know kimchi. Okay, you know kimchi. That's fine. You need to eat. You need to eat to live. We come to the Word of God because you want to live. I want to eat Christ. I want to eat the heavenly food. Our life is called the food from the tree of life. In him was life, in the Word was life. Well, our brother this morning just quoted John chapter 1, right? In the beginning was the Word. The Word was with God, the Word was God. So when you come to the Word, what do you want to eat? knowledge, or do you want to eat God? You want to take God into you.
Amen.
And in him, in a word, was life. And the life was a light of men. Then your eyes will be enlightened.
Amen.
But primarily, what we desire is, Lord, I want to eat you because I want to live by you.
Yeah.
It is food. This is why Paul, in his word, in his epistles, used, I fed you. He used the word fed you with milk and not with solid food. The word of God is food to us. Man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word. And this word of God is food for us. It's manna. It is bread that came down from heaven. And I know, because when I was much younger, I had an appetite for the Bible, for knowledge. Well, what can I do? I was young, right? I want knowledge. This head wants to have knowledge. But then I discovered that knowledge did not change my life. Right. So, by the Lord's mercy, as time went by, I told the Lord, I want you. I want to eat you. Eating is not for knowledge. Eating is for life.
Amen.
And I want to eat something that is real, that is food, that is real food. I want to eat something that is pure. So when my wife and I, or Mary, go to the food store, to grocery stores, we always see what is the content of this food, and where did it come from? Right. Where did it come from?
Mm-hmm.
We choose what we eat because we want to be healthy. Right. Because we are dealing with something that is organic, something that is living. Everything that deals with God is a matter of life. And if you take a look at the whole tabernacle, right? All those wonderful offerings are for food.
Yeah.
It's like a big restaurant, a heavenly restaurant. People are eating there. You eat the meal offering, there's all kinds of wonderful cake, unleavened cake, and you have the meat from the offerings that we are all eating and enjoying. And then in the holy place, again, you have a wonderful table there. It's something very special. If just take a look at that golden table, you will know that that food is very special.
Yeah.
Right. So learn to understand the matter of eating. When we come to the Lord, Lord, give me to eat.
Amen.
Right. And even the Lord said in Matthew chapter 24, who is the faithful and wise servant who give a message to his people? Who give a sermon every Sunday? No? Why are you laughing? No? Aren't we doing that all the time?
Oh, Lord.
Who prepares food for his household? Healthy food, spiritual food. And you can see, if you take a look at that table, that food is definitely something very special. Not just any kind of food, but something very special prepared by the Lord. although it is prepared by the priest, and it is fresh every week. But it has to be before the Lord, before God. You know, everything that is presented and laid before God, it is something very special. Because God is life and God is light. Everything that is examined by God and blessed by God, presented before God's presence. Hey, what can be better, right? What food can be better? We must have this appetite. We must have a desire, Lord, give me this food to eat. When the Lord talked to that Samaritan woman, she was, of course, taking the natural water from the well of Jacob. The Lord said, if you ask of me, I will give you living water. And if you drink of that water that I will give you, you will never thirst again. I think that woman will say, who is this guy who's going to give me this water that I will not thirst again when I drink? And even if I drink it, it's going to become a well of water springing up in me. I don't think she ever thought there is such water, and this man must be pulling my legs, right? But he looked at the Lord. He said, no, he is very serious, right? So he says, give me to drink.
Amen.
I want it. Give it to me.
Yeah.
Now, do you want this bread, special bread? And what is your attitude when you come to the Lord's table before a bread and a cup? Is it just a piece of bread for you? Oh, just remembering the Lord died for you and shed a few drops of tears. Some people do that, right? Become very emotional. Oh, you suffered so much for me. And is that the way? Or do you have a desire, Lord, I want a special food from you? We are a priesthood here. I want to have this unleavened bread from heaven. Right? Food that will give me eternal life, that will sustain me, strengthen me to be an overcomer, to make it to the kingdom. I want to eat you. I want to discover everything that you are. I want to gain more Christ. If you desire to eat of the showbread, I assure you, you're coming to the Lord's table every week. Right? Remember, every week it's fresh and new, right? The bread is changed every week, every 7 days, and the priest will eat that bread and it will be refreshed and replaced with fresh bread. The word of God must be fresh and living, nourishing, strengthening. And each bread is about what? 1/10 or 2/10 of an ephah. I don't know how many pounds is one loaf, just one bread, one cake. I always feel sorry. I always feel not so good if the bread came and I just take one little piece, nobody can even see it, and I cannot even see it without glasses. I don't even know, it's a little piece of bread. I put it there, I cannot even taste it. That's why I encourage everyone, bake a bigger cake, okay? 2/10 of an ephah, that must be about 12 pounds or something like that, one cake. Do you have an appetite? Or you just want to take a bite and that's good enough, right? If it's poisonous, just one bite will kill you, okay? But if it is real food, I'm sure, Zhu Zhan, you're a young man, you have a good appetite. When you go to eat, you don't just take one spoonful of rice and that's it, and two slices of kimchi and then that's it. No, it's not going to fill your stomach. How much appetite do you have to eat? Right. So this must be our experience. Our appetite for the Lord must grow, our desire. Lord, I want to eat you more.
Amen.
Give me to eat. And the eating must be fresh all the time. Yes, you don't need new things, so to speak. Yeah, new knowledge. Okay, if the Lord wants to show you something new, that's fine. But you need to eat, right? You need to eat. If you eat rice every day, it's rice. Don't say, oh, it's rice again. Oh, it's rice again. Oh, well, if it's rice from last month, then you cannot eat it. But it's fresh rice. It tastes very good. Especially if you eat fish, right? Don't eat fish that is from last month. Yeah, it will be very fishy. Fresh. It is still the same kind of fish, but it's fresh because it's alive. It is organic. It is food. It is living. Right. And of course, when you eat that bread of life, you receive life and you receive more light and more revelation. It comes with it. It comes with it. And the Lord will naturally show you and open your eyes by the nature of that food that comes into you as life. In him was life, and the life was the light of man, and the light will shine in darkness, and the darkness will be expelled. The darkness cannot overcome light. And you will be strengthened. And the more we are strengthened in the inner man, the more revelation we will receive from the Lord, naturally. Because God is going to reveal himself to you. Okay. God will speak to you. And it is all within that enclosure of the holy place. You can see all these three wonderful furnitures inside are the three in one. Right, three in one. You have the food, you have the light, and you have the communication there with the living God in the golden incense altar. So while you're eating, you get light, and the Lord is speaking to you. So in all these, it is not just eating of this food. While you're eating, you get the light of life, and the Lord speaks to you. So this must be our experience. It's not a doctrine. You must tell the Lord, Lord, I want to experience this. Okay, give me that experience.
Yeah.
And while you learn to do that, you will realize and you will become a person with discernment. You will develop a heavenly taste. And you will realize, no, this food is not edible. I'm not going to eat that. It doesn't taste right. Even just the smell, you will know it's not good. You just smell. Even if you just smell the food, you will run away. You say, no, 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 I can't eat this. Because you're used to not eating spiritually the heavenly food. You will know, you will know. You will have a discernment. You will be a heavenly gourmet. How do you say that in English? Feinschmecker. Because our sense of smell and our sense of taste is very sensitive for food. Taste and see. Taste and see. Praise the Lord.
Amen.
The matter of eating and drinking is from the very beginning of the Bible all the way to the end.
Yes.
The Lord says, right, if you wash your clothes, sanctify, yep, cleanse your garment by the blood of the Lamb, you will enter into the city. Well, in this case, you will enter into the Holy of Holies and you will eat of the showbread, of the tree of life. It's the same principle in Revelation chapter 22. That's the last chapter in the Bible. Blessed is he who washes his robes, that he may enter through the gate into the city and eat of the tree of life. Washing, entering in, and eating. Ah, my goodness. Oh, that's a very simple.
Yeah.
Very simple. So the cleansing through the burnt offering altar and a washing from the liver is for us to enter into the Holy of Holies. And when you enter in, what do? You eat. Eat the special food prepared by God for the priests.
Mm-hmm.
Now we all can realize how special it is. What a privilege to be priests today.
Yes.
It's a gift of God to Aaron and his sons, right? I give it to you as a gift, a special privilege. It is a special privilege to be the priests of God. And God's desire is to make us kings and priests unto God.
Amen.
Amen.
Yes, amen.
I hope that all of us will be those who
amen.
Have tasted mm-hmm. special heavenly food and yes. will be spoiled by it. In a good way, right?
Yeah.
That means we will not have any more desire for junk food.
For fast food. Yeah.
Right? Not 7 days, not even 7 hours, maybe 7 minutes. You put it in a microwave and you eat it and that's it, you know. It's fast food. But in the holy place, you don't eat fast food. No junk food. No fast food, but heavenly food.
Amen.
Prepared by God for the priests.
Amen.
To eat. And you cannot bring it outside to eat, okay? You'll eat it inside.
Amen.
Then you go out to serve the people. Amen.
Praise
the Lord.
Thank you. So,
enjoy. Yeah. Bon appetit. Right. May all of us have a good appetite.
Yeah.
A healthy appetite for this wonderful heavenly food.
Amen.
Amen. Amen.
Thank you.
Amen.
God.
Amen.
Praise the Lord.
Amen.